Earth, sky.
We're seeing interest from medical communities, academic health science centers, where physicians are signing on to this notion that geomedicine is a much broader concept, and it basically has to do with our personal relationship with our environment as opposed to an entire community's relationship with an environment.
You are listening to Bill Davenhall with the geographical software company Esri, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Since the early 1980s, Esri has been one of the major producers of GIS software, that's Geographic Information Systems, capturing, analyzing, and presenting data linked to geographic locations. Now Davenhall and others at Esri are thinking about health, about how knowing more about a patient's place history can help improve health care. Davenhall spoke about what he called geomedicine with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Mr. Davenhall, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you.
Could you explain the concept of geomedicine? What is it, and what's important for people to know about it?
Well, geomedicine is quite simply the linking of the vast amount of public health knowledge to personal health through geography.
Maybe just to explore that just a little bit. Give us a little bit of an example of what you mean about this connection between public health and location, where someone is, where someone spends time.
First of all, in health, everything happens somewhere. So the whole concept of place, where you happen to work or play or live, becomes intrinsic to what's going to be around you. So a good example of this would be as you visit your doctor's office and your doctor asks you about all the history of your medical history, your drug history, your surgical history, perhaps even your social history. But one of the things they never ask you about is your place history. That belies the fact that you could have lived in places and been near all sorts of hazardous, toxic elements. And this is never brought into focus when you're sitting in a doctor's exam room and you realize that there's a tremendous amount of money that gets spent and work that gets done by the scientific community, of working with data that's called population health. This is where we basically understand that disease is not a random event, that certain diseases appear in certain places around the world in different kinds of quantities. So geomedicine is essentially that linking mechanism that's going to bring that kind of knowledge into a very tight focus around your own personal health issues.
Knowing that there's this pollution out there where one lives or has lived is one thing, but what can people do with this knowledge to make life healthier?
Yes, I get asked this question very frequently. And here's what I say. You know, everyone has some decision points to make. One of them, of course, is just being more informed about where the presence of certain kinds of chemicals are in our water systems or pollutants in our air. So one of them on a base level is just having some transparency into where these things occur in greater quantities. The second part is that we have a lot of people who wish to clean up that environment. And, of course, the third thing is to move. So you have people who now are making decisions as to where to move or where they would like to move to avoid these kinds of situations. So a lot of cases, this is not only diagnostic in nature, but it's prescriptive. We can actually change where we choose to live, work, or play.
Yeah, and tell us a little bit about how people listening can know about some of these environmental hazards. Tell us more about this free online resource by Esri called My Place History. Who's it for and what does it do?
Yes, well, we developed this simple application to help people understand this relationship between place and their environment and how it impacts their own human health. And what we did is we produced an application that runs both on the iPhone, the iPad, and will also run in a PC environment that allows them to complete online their own personal history of where they've lived or worked. This can be 10 places or it can be 100 places. It's their own personal, most detailed street address level kind of information they put into the system. And then the system goes out in search of all the toxic release inventory sites that the Environmental Protection Agency collects and has been collecting since 1987. And what it returns to the person is actually a report that documents the proximity of the places where they've lived, worked, or played to these toxic release sites. And a lot of countries around the world have such databases where they inventory these kinds of toxic materials. This was just a sample in terms of this could be a lot of things. This could be air quality information. It could be water quality information. And many communities collect this type of information. The EPA happens to collect all these sites and puts it in one database, so it's really quite easy to access. So when you run this report, you'll be able to print out a report and email it to your friends and family, and hopefully you will send it to your doctor. So your doctor can see, have some sort of understanding of where you've been and what kinds of things you may have been exposed to. It doesn't mean that this is causing your problem for which you've gone to the doctor, but it certainly is giving doctors an opportunity to have some new diagnostic clues.
You said that a person's medical history should include the history of the places they've lived and traveled, which in the U.S. it doesn't. Why do doctors need this, and what do they do with this information?
Right. Well, a good example of that is things like breast cancer, prostate cancer, Parkinson's are not random events. They have higher incidences in various parts of the United States. There's been a lot of research that's been done in this area, and anyone that wants to comb through any of the literature or the scientific literature can begin to see this pattern that really reflects a great deal of geographic variability in both the incidence and prevalence of these kinds of important diseases that are of high concern to the public. So these kinds of things, events happen all over the United States. There's a cancer cluster called the Acreage Cancer Project near West Palm Beach, Florida, where a group of citizens identified that many children in their neighborhoods were having pediatric tumors. Make a long story short, there's a website the listeners could go peruse, and they would begin to find out that there was a relationship here between local industry and what got into the water and the water wells of the families that drank that water for decades. And so the CDC and the State Department of Health in Florida have now declared this particular subdivision a cancer cluster. So part of their struggle was trying to find all the people who had ever lived there. So you can imagine what kind of issue this is if you don't have a place history. If a medical record had a place history in, then medical practice could easily identify all their patients that they've ever served that had an address that fell into that cancer cluster.
Tell us how My Place History is evolving. Where is it going? What is it doing?
First of all, we developed this app as a support to a presentation I made in 2009 to a program called TEDMED, which is a forum for, I would say, ideas worth sharing in medicine. So that has led, for example, the EPA, I know, is reworking with their website right now in cooperation with the Institute of Medicine. The National Library of Medicine has had an application called ToxMap. And you could go onto that site if you just put in toxmap.gov, and you can see a much richer site that begins to pull in other kinds of environmental data that is made available through a variety of federal government establishments. So I would say what our hope was to begin to stimulate the scientific community and the people in places in government where their job is to really, if they're going to collect this data, is to start to make it transparent and expose it in a relevant way to taxpayers and health-seeking consumers. So I would say it's achieved that first hurdle, which was getting attention and realizing that there's a lot more data like this available. And now we need to go on to the hard part, which is how do we actually craft it into a useful information product that could be used by a physician in a diagnostic workup. And that's where this thing is headed. We're seeing interest from medical communities, academic health science centers, where physicians are signing on to this notion that geomedicine is a much broader concept, and it basically has to do with our personal relationship with our environment as opposed to an entire community's relationship with an environment.
Well, Mr. Davenhall, thank you for speaking with us today. It's my final question. What's the most important thing you want people today to know about geomedicine?
Well, that everything is connected. While we talk about silos, that's how we have chosen to behave as scientists and as researchers and so forth. But in reality, we're on a treadmill. It's a continuous process. So everything that occurs around us and everything that we do in reaction to that environment, it's all connected. And it's only we who have artificially separated this. So what I'd like people to remember that this isn't the answer, the panacea to every possible thing that you could think of in improving human health or well-being. It's just another piece of the puzzle that needs to be put in proper place so that we get greater value in the final equation.
You've been listening to Bill Davenhall, Global Manager for Health and Human Service Solutions with the geographical software company Esri. He helped develop a free online resource called My Place History for people in the U.S. It correlates your location with heart attack rates and toxic release inventory sites from the EPA. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.